I'm actually going to bring up, where's Kelly? Kelly's here. So Kelly's going to run this next segment. She brought this to us. We're really excited to have her up here, but I'm going to let Kelly run it, and I'm going to take a little break here to hold up the projector. So Kelly McDonald from Bike Fort Collins.
Hey, guys, again. So I have Amanda here. She is, would you call yourself an expert? Do you have a mic? Yeah.
I don't think anybody likes to call themselves an
expert.
No,
I doubt it. So Amanda's done a good deal of bike packing, and she's really interested in getting more people into bike packing because it's really fun. So she's going to tell us a little bit about her experience and how you can get into bike packing as well.
Right on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, I didn't know I was supposed to make a slideshow.
You
I thought
didn't.
This was for
no.
radio. I didn't have to.
No, you didn't.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Just,
cool.
Just talk. Just
so
do
I'll
what,
just
do
explain everything in nitty gritty details. right on. So I guess the best place to start is to say that this is timely. Bike to work day. My first bike to work day was in Denver in 2008. Or nine, and that was on a 72 Schwinn that was given to me by a friend. And through bicycle commuting, bicycling started to change my life. And I got, you know, like one bike handed down to me and then another bike handed down to me. And enough bikes down the road, I decided that I really wanted to leave my corporate job and cycle the Continental Divide, which I did last year. So in 2015, I biked from Banff, Canada to Antelope Wells, New Mexico, which is the length of the Continental Divide, along the Adventure Cycling Association's route. So you're not actually on the hydrogeological divide because that would be really difficult. You're kind of more between the mountains. It's really scenic. It's really awesome. I learned a lot. I did not race it. I rode it. So that meant that I got to meet people. Things went wrong. I got to stop in towns and see what they were like. I got to bring a camp stove, which like most racers don't do. But through the past, I guess, year and a half, past 2 years, I've done a good bit of bike packing. And I think the thing that really gets me stoked about it and makes me want to share it with other people is that it combines camping and cycling. And I think one of the things that can kind of put a damper on an outdoors trip is that you have to pile all your stuff into a car and then drive somewhere to have a good time. And I think the freedom that you get by bike camping or bike packing is that you get to leave from your front door and everything becomes novel. Just leaving your town and starting where you are and then getting to some place that's like remotely far away feels like a huge adventure. And then coming back to your town at the end of it is it really the contrast and like the places you go, I think, is really poignant. So that's why I like to share it with people.
Yeah. So Amanda, did you not ever bike pack before and then just decide, oh, I guess I'm just going to do the Continental Divide today? That sounds cool.
No, I didn't. I actually had a few experiences before that. You know what it was? So I knew I had a friend who had bike camped or like bicycle toured Europe, and I knew that I wanted to do it. So I was like, listen, I bought some panniers, show me how this works. And you just rig up whatever bike you have and you go for it. And so I did a couple of trips like that. So I had, one overnighter, then the next one I did was like a long weekend, and then like we did a bike to the beach thing, and then I did my first real true test was I did a solo trip from Portland, Maine to the White Mountains of New Hampshire and did a bike and hike by myself, which was both terrifying and beautiful, but mostly terrifying. So it was, I had, a couple trips like that before I did the Continental Divide that said like, okay, I can do this. It's not going to be the same bike. It's not going to be the same place. But once you develop a method for being outside on your bicycle, you can kind of apply it anywhere.
Nice. So you've been trying to get women specifically involved in bike packing and just doing these trips. Tell me about that. Tell me what you've been doing.
Yeah. So I've been hosting women's bike packing clinics, and this is something that I did on the East Coast as well. whenever I talk about doing something women's only, I always feel really bad, and I know it's kind of contentious because I definitely don't want to play the reverse sexism card, because I think there's plenty of men out there who definitely would like to take a clinic and would like to go on a trip where you have someone who's done it before. The thing that I noticed, though, was that almost all of the things that I've learned about cycling, about my bikes, about bike packing, is they've all come from men, and I haven't really had any female teachers. So, and typically in the cycling industry, women are generally, but not everyone, more afraid to kind of reach out for help. So I'm kind of trying to bring it to them. But really, I think it can be applied to anybody who's new and a little bit fearful about it, or thinks that they need to invest a lot in whatever they're doing to be able to do it. So the idea is to kind of cross one of those barriers, one of which being kind of the fear of doing it alone, or the fear of asking. Yeah.
Awesome. So can you tell us, I'm a beginner, I've never bike packed before, what do I need? What kind of bike do I need? Do I need a mountain bike? Do I need a cross bike? Can I go on my road bike?
You need to drop 10 grand right now.
Do I need to buy all those bags? Do I need a custom frame bag? I want one. So if anybody wants to get one for me, talk to me after.
Nope. Actually, the true testament to bicycle touring is the person that just has the most cattywampus Franken bike setup. That's pretty much how everyone starts. And so basically, it can be a very costly, just like backpacking, right? Like, if you want a backpack, you need something to sleep on, you need a sleeping bag, you need a stove, you need all this stuff. And most people just can't drop that kind of money all at one shot. So the way you do it is you get into it typically through road bike touring first, because the easiest and cheapest way to do something is to take your commuter bicycle, put a back rack on it, strap some stuff to it, and head for the hills. Typically, that's the way most people get into it. These days, bike packing, just real quick side note, whenever I say bike camping or bike packing, it's all interchangeable. Bike touring, the common culture is that bike touring is for road cyclists and bike packing is for people going off-road, but really it's all the same thing. These days bike packing bags are becoming more popular and a little bit more affordable. So these are, when I say that, I mean the soft bags that would either attach to your cyclocross bike or your mountain bike, and they have soft contact points so that when you take it on single track, when you take it on gravel, it's not rattling around and driving you crazy and threatening to break your rack. It's just kind of like softly attached, firmly, but softly attached to your frame. So to circle back, no, you don't need to drop a whole lot of money to do this. And that's one of the reasons why I've been doing these clinics is because everyone needs someone to help them, to donate a piece of gear, to donate a bag, to say, this is how you attach this. Like, everyone needs that person. Albeit whether it's from the internet or whether it's real life is always a little bit better. So part of the reason why I'm doing the clinics is because I know that I have extra gear. I know that I know friends who have extra gear. I know that I can distribute that stuff. So at least there's like two less things that you need to buy to be able to do it, at least to see if you like it, you know?
So if I was going out just for the weekend, just like one or two overnights, what critical things do I need to bring? Like, am I bringing my hot sauce? Am I bringing like a luxury
your cast iron, number one.
Cast iron? I want to make
two,
waffles in the morning.
Your mini hatchet.
Sure.
Number three, your chamois cream.
Nice. Yes, I do need all those things.
I would say that packing for an overnighter or a two-nighter is in one category, and 3 days and beyond is another category. So packing for an overnighter or two-nighter is easy because typically you're not going to need to bring as much food because you're probably going to hit more towns on the way out. So you can pack lighter, get lunch on your way out, only, you know, buy something at a grocery store when you are passing by a town before you head into the wilderness. So food is a little bit more minimal. So that means you don't really need a camp stove unless you really want to get creative with it and you're comfortable with a camp stove. You're probably going to want to bring two pairs of cycling shorts. Not everybody agrees on this. Personally, I feel like you want a new chamois in the morning.
That chamois cream, though.
Yeah, that chamois cream, though. The thing that you underestimate typically about bikepacking is that this is not a four-hour ride. You know, you can do a 50 or 55-mile day, and it can take you all day. So you're going to be in the saddle all day. So you better bring your chamois cream, and you better be comfortable. and to that note, having enough food and having enough water is also really important. Lastly, I'd say you want to make sure that you bring... you're going to want shelter of some sort. So sleeping bag, pad, tent, tarp, bivy, whatever you like. Those things are pretty standard.
Nice. So you're going out this weekend.
We're doing it this weekend. Yeah.
Tell us about what you're doing this weekend.
Right. So we are doing a ride, starting one ride in Fort Collins and one in Boulder. And we're going to wind our way to Lyons through the most scenic and least traveled but not private road way possible. And we're going to meet in Lyons and eat a lot, probably. Lots of ice cream, lots of water. And then we're going to head up the St. Vrain's Road, head up the canyon, and find some national forest to put down our heads for the night. So one of the things that I think is... fun but also challenging about the Front Range is that, one, it's scenic and beautiful. Two, you can leave your door and within, you know, 5 miles you're somewhere that's kind of peaceful and looks nice, and already you're kind of on your way to having a bikepacking adventure. The thing that's hard about the Front Range is that you're gonna go up at some point if you head west. So you know, pick your routes wisely. The other thing is that, you know, a lot of these, the campsites in the Front Range sell out really quickly. So I think heading for National Forest is probably one of the safer bets.
So this weekend is the Swift Campout. So it's a national thing, right?
It is a national thing. We kind of localized it and de-Swiftified it. I mean, we're calling it the Swift Campout, but I haven't gotten necessarily any, you know, it hasn't been.
Can you just tell us about what that is really briefly?
Yeah. So Swift Industries is a company that makes really nice bags. Everything from bikepacking bags to randonneuring bags. Like a handlebar bag that you would put on your road bike. And they're kind of promoting the idea of doing a camp out. So we've kind of adopted their enthusiasm and reappropriated it to this bikepacking trip.
Awesome. That sounds great. I guess, would you want to answer questions? Do people
have
any questions? For, like, I want to go bikepacking this weekend. What do I need? I don't know. Nothing? Yeah.
So what's your preferred method? Panniers, soft bags, trailer? How do you like to go?
I would say soft bags, pannier, trailer in that order, and maybe never trailer unless you have a dog, which some people are stoked about. And I would say soft bags because I think they give you the advantage of, one, being versatile. Most of the times you can fit... There's times when you can fit soft bags on your road or cyclocross bike and also your mountain bike, but you can't go the other way around. You can't put panniers on your mountain bike very easily. The other thing about soft bags is that, like I said before, they have soft connection points to the frame. They're firm, but they're soft, so they don't rattle. The last good thing about them is that... they're smaller. They're intrinsically smaller, and thus you cannot carry as much, and it forces you to make the decisions that you don't want to make, but you're going to be really thankful you did when you have to, like, go uphill for 10 miles straight.
So, carry your bike for 10 miles straight.
Yeah. So I think the awesome thing about the soft bags now is that there are a lot of companies doing it and doing it well, and... you know, they're becoming a bit more affordable. Sure, you can still always get those custom frame bags, and they're going to cost a little bit more than you might want to spend, but they're going to last. The materials are better now, like the Cordura and the X-Pack. They're all these, like, lightweight, water-resistant materials that are super durable, stuff that we didn't necessarily have access to in the past. So, I like soft bags the most. That being said, panniers are the easiest and cheapest way to kind of just dump a bunch of stuff and, like, figure it out for the first time, because you're non-ultralight sleeping bag is going to fit in a pannier before it fits in a bike packing soft bag.
Yeah, Pat.
What's your go-to like multi-tool or piece of equipment that you carry with you for breakdowns, equipment replacement, stuff like that? Cell phone?
No, cell phone's actually a really good one. I did the entire Continental Divide without a Garmin because I had an app on my phone that worked just as well. And I had so that's a great point. My go-to, my favorite tool is my generator hub. So I built up a Schmidt Sun 15mm thru-axle generator hub for my mountain bike. And so basically, there's two companies that make them, SP and Schmidt, and it allows me to generate power while I'm riding, and then I've got a little converter that outputs it to USB, and so I can charge my phone, and I can charge my USB portable speaker, which, like, having tunes on the trail is just it just makes everything different. Especially when you're in really remote places, it's kind of like you get a soundtrack to what you're doing. I mean, some people don't like that, but every now and then I kind of like it. So, but in terms of being utilitarian, yeah, there you go. There's just so many things that I use. I mean, having tubeless tires is huge. That's not really a tool, but has saved me many times. I have a pretty burly hand pump. Okay, there it is. So my favorite tool, there it is for really, you know, wilderness excursions, is having a solid pump, because I set a tubeless tire with that pump in Yellowstone National Park.
What kind of hand pump do you have?
It's the Blackburn Outpost pump. It kind of looks like a nightstick.
I think I have that hand pump.
Do you?
Sick. Nice. Thanks, Tana.
Oh, don't leave me hanging. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any other?
I gotta go all the way
any
back.
Any other
out
questions?
There, yeah. Kevin's got a question.
Kevin.
For longer trips, what would be like a good food of choice for you? I know there's a lot of those dehydrated meals and stuff, but is there like a good weight to calorie ratio for foods and stuff?
So what's the best bike packing food? Peanut M&Ms.
Oh. Yes.
No, but seriously, coconut oil is the highest fat to weight ratio in terms of calories, calories to weight ratio.
Cheese was, no?
Coconut oil.
Peanut butter pretzels, sir.
Right. there's a lot of different ways to go with this. I, on the Continental Divide, I did not use dehydrated foods once. I tended to do the couscous or quick cook rice or peanut butter. I did the tuna packet thing. Honestly, when you're out and you haven't hit a town in a few days, it comes down to that kind of stuff. I would have to say that peanut butter or almond butter is one of your best friends. It's like a really easy way to stave off the hunger when you get to camp and you can't think anymore and you have to sit down and make yourself a thing of couscous. The other thing I'll say is that dehydrating your own food is actually really affordable and really awesome. Like, you can really only get sun-dried tomatoes and some mushrooms and jerky. And jerky tends to be kind of expensive. If you buy like a $35 to $40 dehydrator, I did broccoli, onions, bell pepper, bananas, and my own jerky. And that ended up being pretty cool. A cool way to get some vegetables in when otherwise you're never eating vegetables. Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think
that's it, yeah.
I think that's it. So do you have a question? One more question? Yell it. Correct. Yeah. Give it to
just
me.
Just yell. We'll repeat it. Hand bar setups. What do you think of hand bar setups?
Yeah. So the question was, handlebar setup, dirt drops, or like the, you know, the wide hook or the Jones bars, or versus a flat bar, with aero bars. Yeah. It's definitely a personal preference thing. I think it depends on the length of trip. If you're going to go across the country, you're probably going to appreciate either a Jones bar or flat bars with aero bars. If you're going for a maximum of a 5-day trip, flat bars with ergonomic grips or bar ends is good enough. I did have aero bars on the Continental Divide. When I used them, I was really thankful for them, but I didn't use them that often. Since taking them off and doing a few other bikepacking trips since then, I haven't wanted for them, but all of those trips have been shorter. And your handling is just a lot better. So especially if you're going to do single track or if you're going to be on some pretty gnarly Forest Service road, I think flat handlebars are the way to go. But it comes down to personal preference.
Right on. Amanda Delcor, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much. Thank you for coming out.